We're going to be camping in the next 22 to 23 weeks in the book of Psalm 119. So that's at least 10 months or in 2 weeks, I think, if my math is correct. Okay. And so, Lord willing, we'll walk through this book. And so I'm excited about this new series that's before us. Chuck Swindoll wrote, "If I could have only one wish for God's people, it would be that all of us would return to the Word of God, that we would realize once for all that His book has the answers, the Bible is the authority, the final resting place of our cares, the final resting place of our worries, our griefs, our tragedies, our sorrows, and our surprises." Psalm 119 shows us that the Word of God should have top priority in our lives. Do we delight in the Word of God? Is the Word of God a priority in your life? John Piper says this: Loss of interest in the Word of God is loss of interest in God. Stephen Lawson says, "Your Christian life will grow no further than your intake of the Word of God." We spend our time and resources on different things. We need to invest in our study of the Word of God. And I hope and pray that our desire and our longing for the Word of God will grow this coming season in this series. You know, the Word of God is the food that will nourish and encourage every one of us. So my challenge before us is this, and through this book and this series of Psalm 119, I want to put the Word of God in the mouths of the people of God for the glory of God. Because I believe, my beloved, that true revival begins with a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. So what are we studying? The Word of God. Well, let's pray. Oh, Father, we come in this precious time. Lord, as the psalmist cried out in Psalm 119, verse 8, Lord, that we would keep your statutes, that we will not, that you will not never abandon us. Lord, and even verse 18, Lord, to open our eyes so that we may contemplate wondrous things from your law, from your word. And I pray, Father, that you would do a work in our hearts, that you would challenge us, that you would provoke us through the preaching of your word. As we read, as we ponder, as we meditate, as we hear your word preached to us, Lord, may we respond accordingly. We pray, Father, for these things, for this series, that you be magnified and that you would be glorified. Use your word to convict, to reveal where we are in our sinfulness, in our wickedness of our hearts. So we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I've said, Psalm 119 shows us that the Word of God should have priority in our lives. It stands as the giant among the Psalms, Psalm 119. It is the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible. Have you guessed how many verses in one chapter? 176. So it has 22 stanzas. That's why I said it will take 22 to 23 weeks. So this is including week one. And every 22 stanza, every stanzas has 8 verses. And it corresponds with the Hebrew alphabet. As you would see in the heading of your Bible, if you have a Bible with you, you would see the first thing that you'll notice is the first alphabet in the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph. And then you see the next one is Beth. And then the third one is Gimel. And then Dalet, or Hay, and Wall, and Zion, and Shet. And so these are all Hebrew alphabet as we go through this. And again, it covers 8 verses, 176 verses altogether. Since the book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible, it shows us the priority and praise in worship to God. Since Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, it shows us the priority of God's word to God. So I want us to see the importance of the word of God to God. It describes how the word enables us to grow in holiness and handle the persecutions and pressures that always accompany that obedient work of faith or walk of faith. We need God's word. The purpose of the psalm is to give praise to God for his word and then demonstrate how we are to behave in relation to scripture. You see, it's important for us, my beloved, to how we live out God's word. We're not simply just intake God's word in our head, but rather that we would live it out, and we would live it out accordingly. The basic theme of Psalm 119 is the practical use of the word of God in the life of the believer, and how God's word is being used and utilized in your life and in my life. You see, when you consider that the writer probably did not have a complete Old Testament, let alone a complete Bible, this emphasis is both remarkable and important. And that's something that we would see in details as we study the book of Psalm 119. You see, Christian believers today own complete Bible. Amen. You don't just have the Old Testament or the New Testament. Maybe if you went to Harvest Crusade, you probably have a New Testament Bible, right? What they're giving away. So none of you have one? Yes, for those who went to Harvest Crusade, that means you didn't walk forward, and or else if you're a recommitment, you'd probably get one too. All right? But that's what they're giving away, God's word. So here, again, we have this amazing opportunity that we have a complete God, the complete scripture in our hands. We have this privilege. Yet how many of us say that they love God's word and get up at night and early in the morning to read it and meditate on it? How many of us could say that? Right? The psalm, this writer, enjoys and delights in the word of God. He gets up early in the morning. He stays up late reading and pondering on the word of God. The question is before us as we study this book. How many of us could really say that we love God's word and we do those things? That the word of God is a priority. That the word of God is important in our lives. How many Christian believers ignore the Old Testament scriptures or read the Old Testament in a careless manner? Yet here was a man who rejoiced in the Old Testament scriptures, which was the only word of God he had, and considered God's word his food. In verse 103. Of Psalm 119. And something I want you to see that in this psalm is this writer. He sees God's word as his greatest wealth, his greatest treasure, the very word of God. And we'll see that in verse 14 and verse 72. If the psalmist, with his limited knowledge and resources, could live a godly and victorious life feeding on the Old Testament, how much more ought Christians today live for God? I want you to see, church, that this psalmist, even though he had only the Old Testament scripture, and how he was given and respond in living the word of God, how much more for us today in our time, to live and follow God. See, we have the entire Bible before us and 2 millennia history behind us. How do we look at the Word of God? how much time do we spend in the Word of God daily? You see, Psalm 119 has long been an enigma to many Christians, especially those who testify to boredom and confusion when they read God's Word. How many of you are bored when you read God's Word? Right? How many of you are confused when you read God's Word? The attitude of the psalmist is baffling to them. The psalmist speaks repeatedly over joy and unparalleled delight and a spiritual exhilaration when he reads and meditates on scriptures, affections that are largely foreign to their experience. There's something I want you to see in regards to this writer and this author of this Psalm 119. So what I want us to see in the next couple of weeks, not couple of weeks, it is many weeks, or even start now, is I want you to slowly read Psalm 119. Perhaps in the next month, or even every day, read 8 verses at a time. So tomorrow when you wake up, see if you could meditate, read and meditate Psalm 119 verse 1 through 8. And see what effect that will have on you. And then on Tuesday, pick it up again. On the next section, the next stanza, and so on and so on. At the same time, you get to learn Hebrew alphabet. I want us to be able to saturate God's word, the sentence, the syllable, and all these things. I mean, as you read, as I read this psalm and then reread it again and again, you will see a number of issues and points of emphasis that are obviously dear to the psalmist's heart. You know, as you would see those issues, those points of emphasis, I hope those will find a permanent place in your heart as well, as we meditate and study God's Word on Psalm 119. The author of Psalm 119 is unknown to most, but Charles Spurgeon, Chuck Swindoll, have mentioned and pointed out to David. At this point, I would go towards more of the unknown. It is the A to Z of God's Word. Like I said, my beloved, the overall theme is that the Bible is God's authoritative, reliable, and powerful Word. We should make it top priority in our lives. If you know that the Word of God it has authority, and you know that the Word of God is reliable, amen? You can trust the Word, amen? You cannot trust the government. You cannot trust even yourself, but you can trust the very Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. There are many qualities we could study about the Bible, but I'm just going to develop 3 themes from Psalm 119. The first thing I want us to see is that God's word is authoritative, reliable, and powerful. So 3 things as we look at Psalm 119, that it has authority, is that the Bible is God's authoritative word. When God speaks, he does not mumble. The Bible is not a book of helpful hints for happy living, right? It is not the book that you go to look for how to be happy, right? It speaks with authority. The terms used as synonyms for the Bible in this psalm convey the concept of authority. The Bible is God's authoritative word. So let's look at verse 1. The law. How happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk according to the Lord's instruction or to the law. The main synonym, law, used 25 times in this psalm. And the law has the nuance of teaching. It can refer to a single command. It could, to some have said, it is the first 5 books of Moses. To some, it is to all of Scripture. I would take the latter when it explains about the law in this psalm. It's talking about the whole scripture. As you would see in John 15, verse 25. You see, the law reveals God's will for how his people are to live. Since it comes from God's law, it is not just for academic interest, but for obedience. How do you see the Word of God? Do you see the Word of God as simply an instruction, or is it simply for us to obey, to respond? In verse 2, happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart, or their testimonies. You spend time in the Psalms. From a root meaning to bear witness testimonies. It points to dependability of the Bible as a witness of things for God. It also has a nuance of warning. When you see the word testimonies, it relates to warning. And then in verse 3, they do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. Use 7 times of God's ways in this psalm. Refers to God's characteristic manner of acting, as contrasted with our ways. The fourth thing I want you to see is precepts. In verse 4, you have commanded that your precepts be diligently kept. 21 times in this psalm comes from a word meaning to oversee or pay close attention to. So when you see that, it is something for us to look at. It's something I need to pay attention to. Thus, it points to the particular instructions of the Lord as one who cares about detail. Number 5, statutes. 22 times in the psalm. Comes from a word meaning to engrave in stone. And thus, they speak of the binding force and permanence of Scripture. Number 6. Commandments, verse 6, 22 times in this psalm, points to the straight authority of what is said. It has the idea of giving orders, the commandments. Number 7, you will see judgments or ordinances. It depends on your translation that you're using. It's the same Hebrew word, and it's used 23 times in the psalm. And it has the idea of justice rooted in God's character. These are the decisions of all wise judges about common human situations. In verse 9, number 8, word. 23 times in this psalm. It is the most general term of all, emphasizing the fact that God has spoken. My beloved, as we look at this chapter, the sum effect of this term is that the scriptures speak with God's authority. They are not Reader's Digest or your social media posts. Rather, this is the Word of God. It is not some hint on how to live or a suggestion for success. What the Bible says, God says. Obedience is not optional for us believers. It is something we must do. The second thing I want you to see, that the Bible is God's reliable word. So number 1, the Word of God has what? Authority. And the second thing is, the Bible is God's reliable word. You can trust God's word. All of it is faithful. All of it is righteous. All of it is true. So look at with me in verse 86 of Psalm 119. So we're going to be flipping back and forth. So in the next couple of minutes here, as we go through this Psalm 119. So verse 86, be mindful. All your commands are true. People persecute me with lies. Help me. In verse 138, the decrees you issue are righteous and altogether trustworthy. Verse 140, your word is completely pure and your servant loves it. 151. You are near, Lord, and all your commands are what? Are true. Verse 160. The entirety of your word is what? Is true. My beloved, the word of God, it does not change with times. One of the amazing things about the Bible is that it speaks with practical relevance to every culture in every period of history. See, when for someone who studies the scripture, John Calvin, when you read John Calvin's exposition of scripture, this was written 500 years ago to people in a very different world than our own. He still speaks with relevance. When you read commentaries from Spurgeon or any other commentaries in the past, in the time of 1800s, the Word of God is relevant to us. The answers to all the problems we face today are where? Are in the Bible. Do you agree that? The answers to all the problems we face today are in the Scripture because it speaks God's truth to our human condition, which has not changed over the centuries. I was watching the live stream of Harvest Crusade last night at my house. I love the fact that Greg Laurie had mentioned several things when it comes to the word, to the Bible, to the Scripture. That the Bible has authority in how he tackles the issues of life, and the answer is only in the Word of God. My beloved, you and I need to stand with that. See, when you go through, when you counsel others, when you are, when your beloved, when your friends or your co-workers have issues in life, what do you tell them? What do you tell them? Where do you go? Do you have something to say? When you know that you're, this person wants to, are going through some temptation, are dealing with sexual sin, or having some fear in their lives, or have issues with trust, where do you take them? Where do you go? Because my beloved, God's truth has answers. It speaks to our condition. You see, Satan is always trying to undermine the credibility of God's word. That's why even Greg Laurie holding a Bible or even a book per se, people are having issues with it. They see that the Bible is offensive. You know, the Bible is closed, is banned in a lot of countries. Do you know that? When you read about persecution in different parts of the world, and how they try to hide the Bible, the Word of God, have you tried to hide the Word of God when you travel to different places? Have you experienced that? Or do you even carry your Bible when you go to different places? Do you even open your Bible when you are in the airport or you're in the airplane? Or in the public places? Or even at work? If the Word of God has effect and it has answers for all our human conditions, what do you do with it? We need to come back to what the psalmist here repeatedly affirms, that scripture is reliable because it comes to us from God, who understands our needs and who graciously has revealed how we should live. We don't need to try to figure out how we need to live our lives. All we got to do is what? Read God's word. Amen? But how many of us are trying to figure out what is God's will and what's going on in our lives? Because why? We're not reading his word. The Bible is God's authoritative and reliable word. We must, my beloved, can I say this? We must trust his word. Number three, The Bible is God's powerful word. Amen? I mean, down through the centuries, the Bible has had life-transforming results in the lives of countless people from every conceivable walk of life. Did you hear that? That he had life-transforming results. That he has changed people's lives when you read the Word of God. Here are five outcomes of the Word from Psalm 119. So in point number three, I want us to look at five things. Number one, the Word brings us into a living relationship with living God. With the living God. The Word brings us into a living relationship with the living God. We don't study the Bible to become Bible scholars. Nor do we study it simply to learn and follow its moral precepts, although we should do that. We study the Bible, listen to this. We study the Bible to seek God Himself. We study the Bible to seek the God who created us. The God who longs to have relationship with us. We look at His Word. We hear Him speak to us. The Word of God brings us into spiritual life in John chapter 3, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 18. The Word of God sustains us in that life when our heart grows cold. Since God is the author of life itself, His Word has life-giving power. Both to bring the spiritually dead person to life and to renew the believer. Can I say this again, my beloved? True revival begins with a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. When our heart grows cold, we need to be in His Word. Because the Word of God sustains us. It gives us life. Amen? When you're thirsty, right? What do you do? What do you drink? Right? You want to have something to drink. Because you know it will what? It will sustain you. While the psalmist, in the New Testament terminology, is already born again, he recognizes that the Word of God is a source of spiritual life and strength. Look with me in verse 25 of Psalm 119. Verse 25. My life is down in the dust. Give me life through your word. Verse 37 says, if I could find it. Verse 37, turn my eyes from looking at what is worthless. Give me life in your ways. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise has given me life. Verse 88. Give me life in accordance with your faithful love, and I will obey the decree you have spoken. Verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for you have given me what? Life through them. What does the Word of God does, church? It gives you life. There's more. 107, 144, 149, 154, 156, 159. In all that, that says, give me life or cause me to live. If the psalmist needed ongoing revival, how much more do we? You need revival. You need some rekindling in your heart. You need that fire. My beloved, if the psalmist says, it gives me life. The source of such revival is vital contact with God through His life-giving word. My beloved, if you know Christ as your Savior, but are going through a difficult or dry time, what do? If you have this amazing personal relationship with Christ, but yet your spiritual life is dry, or you're going through difficult times, what do you do then? You need to what? Seek God through His Word. I'm not sure how many of you today are going through some difficulties in your life, or there's a dry season in your life. Perhaps this chapter, my prayer that it would revive your soul, it would revive your spirit and where you are right now. God will use His Word to revive you. Can that be our prayer today? God, revive my soul. Give me life. If you don't know yet, if you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you need to know Him. Read His Word. You need to confess of your sins. Know that God is holy and He is altogether righteous. You know, this part is calling us to read God's Word. Can I make a recommendation? If you want to read God's Word, the best book in the New Testament will be a good start. It's the book of John. Right? The book of John. And that's a good place to start. I mean, I know how many years Richard's been preaching from the book of John. 2 or 3 years? Longer than that, we have no idea. Right? And so, we have this special treat. It's coming January 2019, Lord willing. The whole month, he'll be preaching the book of John. Hopefully, he can catch up. And maybe not end the book of John. I don't know. You're what, in chapter 17 of John? Almost? Are you almost there? But 4 weeks of John, I don't know. So, but you'll make it, Lord willing, before he comes, right? Before he returns, right? It's his choice. Man, there is life-giving power in the Word because it brings a person into a living relationship with the living God. There is life-giving power in the Word because it brings a person into a living relationship with the living God. Number 2, the Word gives us stability in trials. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's Word gives us stability in our trials, in our difficulties? It's a promise you can count on. Why? Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But in all his trials, God's word gave the psalmist stability and comfort. I want you to see this. In how the psalmist, in how God dealt with him in his time of difficulties, in his time of challenges. He found stability and he found comfort in verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. Verse 52, Lord, I remember your judgment from long ago and find comfort. Verse 61, all the way to 64, though the robes of the wicked were wrapped around me, I did not forget your instructions. I rise at midnight to thank you for your righteous judgment. I am a friend to all who fear you, to those who keep your precepts. Lord, the earth is filled with your faithful love. Teach me your statutes. Verse 75. I know, Lord, that your judgments are just and that you have afflicted me fairly. A psalmist could say that he's going through trials and affliction, and he could say that God has dealt with him fairly. And yet, how many of us complain, God, why am I going through this? Do we say that, God, you have dealt with me fairly in my trials? That these trials are good for your glory, verse 92. If your instruction had not been my delight, how I would have died in my affliction. You see the response of the psalmist? Read it again. If your instruction, if your word, if your decree had not been my delight, I would have died in my affliction. Do you have that attitude when you are going through trials and difficulties that you find the word of God as your delight? 165. Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble. We need to join the psalmist in affirming both the sovereignty and the goodness of our God when we go through trials. Did you hear that? Do you affirm the sovereignty and the goodness of our God when you are faced with trials and difficulties? You see that in 67, 68, 71, 75, and 76. Do you affirm the goodness of God? Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Verse 68, you are good and you do what is good. Teach me your statutes. Verse 71, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I could learn your statutes. What? This psalmist is he going crazy? That he could say confidently that it was good for me. We may not understand God's purpose in our suffering, but we can know and must affirm by faith that he is both sovereign and that he is good. Amen? We don't just say that God is good. We don't just say that all the time God is good. We say that because we know that he is able to deliver us and that he is really good despite of what we go through in life. You know, you're familiar with this passage in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When we think we are down and out, the word will revive us and get us back on our feet. Verse 25. How many of you are down and out? I want you to find comfort in this and encouragement. Verse 25. My life is down in the dust. Give me life through your word. Verse 37. Turn my eyes from looking at what is worthless. Give me life in your ways. Verse 40. How I long for your precepts. Give me life through your righteousness. Verse 88. 107, 149. Again, you see all those. Give me life in accordance with your faithful love, and I will obey the decree you have spoken. If we delight in his word, learn it and treasure it, and obey what it says, the Lord will work in us and through us to accomplish great things for his glory. The question is, do you delight in his word despite of the challenges and trials that or affliction that you're in? See, as you read and study Psalm 119, you will see the writer in a variety of experiences as we have read so far. But his devotion to the Lord and his word will not change. Despite of what he was going through, whatever circumstances, his love, his delight, his devotion, it doesn't change. That's something I want you to be aware of. That's why I want to encourage you. Take 8 verses a day. Read it and meditate on it. Circumstances may change, but God and his word remain the same. Amen. That's fine comforting. Number 3, the word gives us direction in life. The word gives us direction in life. I know you prefer to use Google Map or Waze as for your direction in your life. What can I tell you? Well, that's the direction to where you're going. All right, let me correct myself. The Word of God gives us direction in life. We all have to make hundreds of decisions that determine the outcome of our lives. Right, Jimmy? You prayed about that. You saw God's Word. Some are minor, some are major, but they all cluster together to shape our lives. In the complex world in which we live, we desperately need God's wisdom for making sound decisions. Note verse 18. Open my eyes so that I may contemplate wondrous things from your instructions. Verse 24. Your decrees are my delight and my counselors. Verse 98 through 101. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are always with me. Say what? God's word makes him wise and they're always with him? Verse 99. I have more insight than all my teachers because your decrees are my meditation. Did you hear that? You want to have more wisdom? You read God's word. You meditate on it. 100. I understand more than the elders because I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path to follow your word. 104. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every false way. 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. 130. The revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. My beloved, this kind of wisdom does not come by neglecting the word until a crisis hits and then opening it up for some emergency guidance. God's wisdom and direction comes from a thorough knowledge of his word, gleaned over the years as a person walks closely to him or with him. The question is, when I look at this, how are you with God's word? Do you only open the word of God when you are faced with trials or because it's an emergency? When we are in trouble, where do I go? Where do I turn to? Do you even know where to turn to when you are faced with temptations, as we have read Matthew chapter 4? Earlier in our scripture reading, when tempted to do wrong, when you face physical danger, when you are discouraged, when you are bored, when you need forgiveness, when nothing seems to be going right, when you worry about having enough of life necessities, when you are afraid, when you are lonely, when you're anxious for those you love, when you sin, when you need restoration, when you are feeling shame, when you feel no one understands, when you are tempted to be stingy, when you plan your budget, when you have to leave home. Wait, when you plan to leave home, that's Psalm 12, verse 1. Psalm 121. When you are tired, when friends seem to turn on you, when you lose a loved one, when you are afraid of death, when you want to take a revenge, when God seems far away, when you have failed God, when you feel abandoned, so we need to be in His Word. So when times like those comes, we don't just open our Bible as an emergency. We open it daily, amen? I hope today after today, that you are encouraged to really to have a thorough knowledge of His Word, that you will persevere in reading and studying and meditating His Word. Number four, the Word produces purity in our lives. The Word produces purity in our lives. Each of us wrestles. Each of us struggles with the problem of inward purity. We might be able to put on a good show outwardly, but inwardly we are sinners by nature, and we wage war against wrong thoughts, desires, and attitudes. How many of us could say that? Amen? Be honest. Right? I got two hands up. Right? We struggle. We wage war against our evil thoughts. Amen? We wage war against our evil desires and our attitudes. God's word is essential for becoming pure in heart. Verse 9 says of Psalm 119. Verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word." Verse 11. "I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you." Verse 36. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to dishonest profit. Say what? Turn my heart to your decrees and not to dishonest profit. Verse 37. Turn my eyes from looking at what is worthless. Give me life in your ways. How many of us pray that prayer in verse 36 and 37? Right? When you're in the store, right? Or Amazon. Lord, is this worthless? Take the internet out. Do something, right? Or if you're in the store and you see this really nice, fancy bag or shoes, and what do you say? And I want you to say this and start meditating this verse, verse 37, right? If you really have that desire and you have no money, and what do you say? What do you say, church? Lord, turn my eyes from these worthless things. That's your excuse, right? So stop doing window shopping, right? John Bunyan said it well. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. If you will meditate on God's word and commit it to memory, God will use it to keep you from sin. What do we use when we're counseling people when they're going through certain sins in their lives? We use the word of God. Amen. We use the word of God to transform the heart of that individual, to turn away from sin. Because we believe, I believe, what God uses to transform us and to keep us away from sin in our lives is His Word. So it's important that you and I study and meditate His Word. Even if you don't retain it and think you're wasting your time in reading God's Word, you're not. Keep reading God's Word. Keep reading the book of John. Eventually we'll get there. Number five. I love this. The Word gives us joy and delight. The psalmist delighted in God's word and could not get enough of it. Verse 14 and 16. "I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees as much as in all riches." Verse 16. "I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Verse 24. "Your decrees are my delight and my counselors." Verse 77. "May your compassion come to me so that I may live, for your instruction is my delight." Verse 92. "If your instruction had not been my delight, I would have died in my affliction." 111. "I have your decrees as a heritage forever. Indeed, they are the joy of my heart." 129. "Your decrees are wondrous, therefore I obey them." 162. I rejoice over your promise like one who finds vast treasure. He had joy. He had delight in the midst of his afflictions in verse 92. We can know that same joy as we delight ourselves in God's word. Wherever the word of God has gone, no matter how pagan the culture, it has transformed lives. It has changed lives. When David Livingstone was pioneering in Africa, a missionary in the last century, he offered to teach one tribal chief to shoot and also to read. But the chief declined because he was afraid that if he learned to read the Bible, it might change his heart and make him content with only one wife. The Word of God is authoritative. The Word of God is reliable. And is powerful to change the heart of sinners into saints. Thus, the Bible deserves top priority in our lives. Amen. Do you feel the same way? Do you have that joy? Do you have the same attitude? The Bible deserves top priority in our lives. What is in your priority list? If you were to make the five items, the five priority, what would it be? What would be your five priorities? Where is the Word of God in there? Where is the Word of God in that list? Is the Word of God in that list? To benefit from the Word, we must be diligent in three responsibilities. Let me close with this. Here's some application for us. To benefit from His Word, we must be diligent. We must work at it in three responsibilities. Number one, we must learn God's Word. We must learn God's Word. See, God does not automatically provide us with knowledge of His Word. We must apply ourselves with diligence and discipline in order to learn the Word. Amen? Woo, that's a lot. We must apply ourselves with diligence. Right, we've studied the word diligence before. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. What are you diligent in, right? Are you diligent in reading the Word of God? Are you disciplined to learn the Word? You see, my beloved, when you and I are diligent and disciplined, in the process, we must be taught of God. But we must also spend time and effort learning. You'll see that in verse 15, verse 16, verse 18, verse 27, and so on. With the busy lives we all lead, it takes discipline. It takes work. We must make it a priority to learn the Word. We must. Number two, we must obey God's Word. Obey. Knowledge without obedience leads to spiritual pride and deception. I like this person. Here's one person said, Stuart once asked an audience, what do you do with commandments in Scripture? What do you do with commandments in Scripture? A little old lady raised her hand and said, I underlined them in blue. How many of you highlight your verse, your Bible? Right? Thank you, Stanley. God's Word was not given to fill our notebooks, but to correct our sin. Did you hear that? You know, we're so busy to underline verses and circle or whatnot. Like, we got different colors for every verse. Right? I do. I have that. Right? See, I have highlight my note. Right, I have it on my Bible too. Right, Psalm 119 is almost highlighted, the whole chapter. Right, but you know what the point is? but to correct our sins in our lives. This is a dominant theme in the psalm, but especially verses 1 through 8, and we'll get there next week. And lastly, we must love God's word. We must love God's word. Love is the motive for obedience. Love is the motive for obedience. We are to love God's word because it reveals the God of love to us. His loving commandments are for our good. Verse 47, verse 48, verse 97, verse 113, 119, 127, 140, 159, 163, 165, and lastly, 167. If you have lost your love for God's word, you need to repent and recover your first love in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Believers need to get back to the basics. Amen. We need to get back to the basics. If Psalm 119 says anything, it says we must be willing to consume a steady diet of truth from His word. We need to digest the principles it contains. We need to pray over it. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to meditate upon it. Let it saturate your thinking. Use it when problems arise. Filter your decisions through the Word of God. Don't let a day pass without spending time alone with God, listening to the silent voice of His eloquent word. All other attempts to gain spiritual growth lead to frustration. With each one of them, will whatever enthusiasm that you may have when it comes to whatever spiritual growth you're trying to do, with God's word, your enthusiasm grows. You're looking for something to encourage you and to get you excited about serving or whatnot. You'll find it in the Word of God. Nothing enables us to live beyond the grind of low enthusiasm like a daily application of His Word to our situation. God's Word is splendid. God's Word is sweet, as we have seen in this psalmist, in this psalm. God's word is powerful. God's word is faithful. God's word is righteous, and God's word is true. God's word is great. God's word is glorious. God's word is grand, and God's word is good. And the question is why? Because in it, we see God. We see God. Through it, He draws near. By means of its truth, we experience the incomparable joy of knowing Him and seeing Him and beholding the beauty of His infinite elegance. And the main verse that I picked from this chapter in my study is verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18 is my memory verse. In my main verse for this lesson, open my eyes so that I may contemplate wondrous things from your instruction. I may behold the wondrous things of God. My question is, as I close, are you a person of the Word? Are you a person of this book? Or maybe in your device. What does your alarm tell you in the morning? To read and ponder? Maybe that's something we need to do. Maybe we need to start reading God's word again. It's already, it's almost September, right? We still can start our 365 days Bible reading, right? It's just, you'll just finish next year, and that's okay, right? What is your habit? What's this look like for us in a daily basis? The question again, my beloved, are you a person of the Word? Is it your passion? If not, you're spiritually malnourished. Can I say that? If you don't have passion on reading the Word of God, you're malnourished. I'm not even saying you're malnourished because you don't attend Tuesday night Bible study. I didn't even say that, did I? You may be malnourished if you're not reading His Word. How many of you are malnourished physically? You're not, right? How many times do you eat every day? You have a choice where to go to, right? You can go to your favorite place, some ramen, some sushi, some barbecue, some Greek food, whatever. I look at every one of you here today, you're not malnourished physically. But how are you when it comes to the Word of God? If you feel malnourished, all you gotta do is ask God to revive you through His Word. If you can't find the time, I have one final suggestion. Make time. Just make time. Maybe you need to turn off your device for a couple hours to be in the Word. Right? It is not enough to have a quiet time, a 5-minute Bible devotion. What is that? 5 minutes? Right? Take advantage as you leave for work or school, listen to some sermons in the morning. So what we're going to do in the next couple of weeks is for us to break those 8 verses, those 22 stanzas. We'll look at them all in details. I've read a lot of those verses over and over. I just want us to see what this psalmist, his heart when it comes to different situations and how he refers back to what his delight in, the Word of God, right? I praise God for the opportunity that He has given us, that I could easily swing this Bible openly, walk with this Bible openly in public without someone taking the Bible out from my hand, where I could easily put it on my luggage when I travel and have my Bible right there and open it and no one have issue with it. But again, my beloved, are we spending time with His Word? Are we pondering? Are we meditating on His Word?